Okay, well, now that we're all thoroughly, like, appetites ruined by sharing what is our least favorite foods, there's a reason I asked you that, because I kind of need to get you in the mood today of kind of toughing some things out, kind of sticking out some hard stuff. You know, most of the time, we're encouraging each other to play to our strengths, to really, kind of feel God's momentum in our lives. Today's a little bit different. We're kind of wrapping up this CrossFit series. And I think what I love about the whole CrossFit world is, you know, the whole physical fitness approach that CrossFit brings is it just really challenges you to be as balanced. I mean, the whole idea of crossing different exercise genres into different sports and different challenges is such an interesting concept in itself. And the whole idea is to try some things that you're not used to, that maybe aren't your strengths, maybe that intimidate you, maybe that you've shied away from. And my guess is, in asking you about those foods that you dislike, I bet you most of the time they're probably in those lists that are pretty healthy, almost like superfood type of foods that we just that we might not like. Maybe not all, but I bet you the majority of the foods that were described were probably pretty healthy and good for us, and we know are probably good for us, but they just don't appeal to our taste for whatever reasons. But the reason we're kind of borrowing this language from CrossFit is trying to challenge ourselves to something a lot more of a higher endeavor, not just being physically fit, but being spiritually fit. CrossFit, a high intensity fitness program incorporating, again, elements from several sports and types of exercise. We're looking at a variety of ways that we can incorporate different types of spiritual growth to add to our spiritual fitness. We've been having a little fun with the various, you know, there's a whole language. I was hanging out on the sidelines of my kid's soccer game, and one of the guys is a CrossFit guy, and I was telling him about the message series we're doing in church. He's like, "Oh yeah, do you know about?" And he was saying AMRAPs. He said a bunch of stuff I didn't even know, have on this list. But we were joking about how I originally thought WODs were pronounced WODs, and I didn't get that right. But the WOD is the workout of the day. And we've been assigning each week for the last several weeks, before Easter and now after Easter. The first one was do some reading, get acquainted with, more acquainted with God's word. Challenge yourself to read one whole gospel, one whole epistle, which is one of the letters that Paul or Peter or one of the apostles wrote in the New Testament. Read an Old Testament psalm. Dive in. Lena did a great talk and presented a worksheet on establishing a rule of life, which is kind of just a personal rhythm that will help you throughout a day, throughout a week, throughout a given month to set some priorities for yourself in your spiritual walk. We talked about spiritual pathways. I'm such a big fan of finding your spiritual pathway, and there's at least seven of them that, there's one or two that everybody really identifies with, and this is where and when God becomes the most real to you, and setting aside time to really stay on that pathway, and don't let a week go by, definitely not a month go by, where you're not spending time in creation, if that's your pathway, getting your hands involved and helping out, if that's your pathway, being with others that are on a similar journey as you, if your pathway is relational, and so on. Last Sunday, Ken Brown gave a message on using prayer beads to kind of inform and help our prayer life and add a little structure and variety. And this was something totally new to me, and he was kind of going over it with me, and I just thought it was so neat and interesting and something different to do. If that hasn't been part of your spiritual tradition, if you've grown up in more of a mainstream, you know, like the Roman Catholic Church, or these were Anglican prayer beads that he was sharing, you know, that's something you might be more used to. But that's been another workout of the day, you know, another offering, another something different to try and challenge ourselves to grow in our fitness. Okay, but I said today, okay, today I think is going to be, you know, it's going to be a little, I'm going to have to bring it, you know, one of the guys in church was kind of ribbing me a little bit and saying I might be a little too easygoing, a little too nice. Sometimes I just need to ramp it up and bring things a little tougher, you know, but and I tend to maybe be a little too gentle on things. So I'm going to try to ramp it up because my third grader was really encouraging me recently. We had a great talk in the car on the way to school recently, and she was describing, she's in one of those classes where they got two teachers, you know, one's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the other one does Tuesday and Thursday. Well, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday teacher, I don't remember their names anyway, so I'm not going to get it right. Okay, it's more like her, right? She's like, you know, she's kind of the tough, more strict, not the warm, fuzzy, and she's been used to, at her school, lots of warm, fuzzy teachers up until now, so she really did not gravitate toward this teacher. Now the Tuesday, Thursday teacher is much more like her on the right side of the screen there. And so beginning of the year, you know, she had nice things to say about Tuesday, Thursday, but just awful things to say about Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And she goes, you know what I've learned recently is the strict, more serious teachers you learn more from. And she has really gained this appreciation. She looks forward more. I couldn't believe it, to her Monday, Wednesday, Friday time, because she feels like she just gets so much more out of that. And then I had to tell her my Kathleen Dennehy, my math teacher from high school story. She retired a few years ago. Best teacher I ever had. You'd go into that classroom and you just felt, what's going to happen? She's going to call on me. She's going to like really drill on me, you know. But you came out of that class knowing the material so well. And so we had this great conversation about how great it is to have serious, strict teachers in our life. And so with that, okay, so see, this is where I can't help myself. I gotta have a little fun, okay? So to kind of sweeten the pot here for you a little bit before we get all roughed up. I'm more on the Tuesday, Thursday, I know. Okay, I'm gonna try though. Okay, so our baseball family. I mean, it's April. It's hard to get baseball off your mind, you know? It's like, that's kind of, you know, what's going on. But in baseball, they got this thing called the five tools of baseball. And it's, there's five areas where, it's very rare that any one player excels at all five. But there's five areas. If you're a five tool player, I mean, you are something. But the first, did that not update right? No, that's right. That's Ty Cobb. Okay, good. And so the first tool is hitting for average, which means, you know, you're a consistent hitter, you hit often, you know, but you're not maybe not hitting it over the fence, but you're getting on base and you're moving people around the base. You got a high batting average. So Ty Cobb, all-time like highest career, you know, batting average of all time. Plus the best salad ever, right? I mean, he invented the Cobb salad. I'm pretty sure that's right. I don't know. Look that one up. But okay. But then the next tool is hitting for power. And so this is like the Babe Ruths, you know, and all the, you know, the guys. They don't necessarily hit a lot of singles. You know, they strike out a lot of times, or they get walked because but they don't necessarily have high batting averages. But they get the ball over the fence. These are the power hitters, guys like Ruth. Okay, so then the next tool in the toolbox is base running skill and speed. And so everybody's favorite A's runner, Ricky Henderson, you know, who is the all-time stolen base leader, and he was just lightning around the bases. And so that was his specialty, was if he could get on base, boy, he was gonna whip around the base paths. Okay, so then the fourth skill is throwing. Anybody remember when Bo Jackson was playing both football and baseball, and those incredible throws he would make for the Royals from the outfield? And just, I mean, he just had a super arm that could just throw a strike from the all the way from the fence to those these shoot hands, like he had gunned somebody down at home plate. And so throwing. And then Ozzie Smith was so fun to watch when I was a kid. And so the fielding ability to be able to defend, you know, catch and throw the ball around the bases. Okay, but my favorite fielder, though, I had to throw Brandon Crawford in there for the Giants because I just love his style. You guys just love his hair. I love his style of play. He is just the most... the smoothest shortstop in the game, in my opinion. And so, okay, but there's one player. Okay, so all these guys, I mean, you know, they might be great fielders or throwers, have one of those tools. There's only really one player that everybody agrees on, that universally that is that elite of elite five tool guys. And so the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays, right? And so, I mean, he was always hitting. He's in the 600 something home run club. He was super fast. He had an arm like anything. I mean, making circus catches all the time out in the outfield. And so he, you know, very rare do you get somebody that could do it all. You know, it's because he challenged himself. You know, it's fun to read about, you know, he's still alive. He's still, you know, shows up to different things. He's amazing. But, you know, how some of these elite athletes challenge themselves in different areas. Some guys get plenty, you know, comfortable in one or two areas, but don't challenge themselves to be as well-rounded as they possibly can. But it got me thinking about, because there's really, you know, and different authors and theologians will kind of fight over, the five habits or five areas of discipleship that get talked about, but different areas that we can, you know, maybe there's one or two that we sort of lean toward more naturally in our walk with God, but we tend to ignore some of the other ones. And so really what I want you to get to think about today, just like you were identifying your Brussels sprouts, which of these is the one that you just like don't want to do? Okay, and so maybe you got to think about that a little bit. Study, I changed that to learning. Because study is, you know, one thing, but I think learning kind of says it a little better. But getting into God's Word, whether it's in a personal Bible study, a group Bible study, a setting like this where you're learning and growing and challenging yourself to let God's voice direct your life. Because all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. It wouldn't be there in the Bible if it wasn't useful and practical. There's plenty of stuff throughout sacred history, Israel's history, the New Testament, that happened that you can find in secular pages still, you know, but it wasn't, God's people didn't necessarily find it as useful as what we have collected in the canon of the Bible. There's nothing that's there that's a throwaway. That's why it's there. That's why it's so inspiring. That's why God used it to form, you know, the history of his people and the foundation of the church. There's something there for everyone. That's why I can't wait to get into this Moses series. What's fun for me, so this is, you know, I don't learn something as well. I always learn it the best when I've got to prepare and give a message on it. And so the learning stuff is kind of in my wheelhouse because I'm constantly doing it. I love it. It's a passion for me to get to study, to grow, read what other people have said about things, really reflect on that. And so I get plenty of that. So I'm going to kind of share as we kind of go around the horn here, what I'm going to pick. I'm going to wait till later. But where are you in that? Have you cracked open a Bible lately? You know, have you challenged yourself to do some reading? You know, grab a book, join a small group, really, you know, kind of hear what others have learned, and you grow in your learning. And the next one on here that I've got is prayer. And I love this line in 1 John. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He's wide open anytime, anywhere. We've got this amazing connection to God. But here's what gets in the way. First of all, most of us may not believe it. We feel like we don't have this confidence to approach God. It's like, okay, I've been kind of doing some things, thinking some things. I'm really not in a position where God's going to be open to hearing from me right now. And that's just a falsehood. It doesn't matter what frame of mind you're in. It doesn't matter what junk you're caught up in. God is ready and waiting to hear your heart. And He would love more than anything for you to get a little still and a little quiet and get some time with Him and get stuff off your heart. Share what is important to you, what you feel you need, what you're missing. Hear from Him how that lines up with what His best is for you. But taking that time. So the first thing is we just don't believe that, we don't have that confidence that now is a good time. Okay, so yes, you can have that confidence. Anytime is the perfect time. And then the second thing is, it's just so hard to just stop and have that conversation. That's the hard part. We're so busy with stuff to get quiet and still. And so that can be a huge challenge. The next one on here, fellowship. Okay, now the great R.C. Sproul, if you've ever read any of his theology, he's a current Presbyterian theologian. He's written a ton of books. He would disagree with me on this one. He doesn't have fellowship in his big five, so to speak. He's got worship. But I would say every one of these forms our life of worship and is an ingredient in worship. And I think R.C. ought to put fellowship in, because I think when you really read through the Old Testament, New Testament, you see how important it is. You just look at Jesus' life, how important it is to surround yourself in relationships that are encouraging to you, and that you can be encouraging too. And as iron sharpens iron, a famous proverb, so one person sharpens another. But if I kind of keep to myself because I'm scared to open up with others, or maybe I'm scared to hear what's going on in others' lives, I'm going to stay stagnant, and I'm not going to really grow to the place that God has me, because I can't do it on my own. Simply the human being was not meant to be isolated relationally. We all need to be in relationships, but what we really need are relationships that push our spiritual fitness, that are healthy for us, that bring grace into our lives, bring encouragement, also bring accountability. People that are close enough to us that can say, hey, this doesn't sound like it's a good thing for you. And I'm kind of worried about you. I'm kind of concerned what I'm seeing. But if we don't have friends like that in our lives. We're missing out on a big part of our spiritual growth. But again, that can be an area that, you know, just like learning and prayer, that we push aside because it's like, oh, it just doesn't come easy to make friends or to trust others. I've been burnt, or I'm not going to be accepted, or I just don't want to, you know, share really what's going on. I'm embarrassed, you know, and it's like we keep ourselves, you know, again, isolated, and it's not what we need. What we need are those relationships. Now, some of us, again, if that's your strength, if that's your one of your tools, it's like, hey, bring it on. I'm not everything like the church has to offer, and that's great. But we're not all like that. So right now, you're not looking for your strength. You're looking for your weakness. You're looking for the Brussels sprouts. What are you pushing away on the plate? Okay, on that plate, what are you pushing away? And so maybe it's giving. I love this line that. That is in this kind of last sentence in this last paragraph of what Jesus is sharing in this one talk he gives. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he kind of sums up dispelling our quest for material possessions and holding on to what we think is going to add value to our lives. And he goes, if you really want to see what's important to you, and I know you say that this is important to you and trying to be all spiritual and stuff, but if you really want to know where your heart is, look at your check register, you know, look at your credit card statement. You know, that's where our passions are. It's what we spend our money on. It's where our treasure is. And, you know, some of you guys, you look at your treasure statement and you're giving to all sorts of places. You're keeping neighborhood going. You're keeping other ministries going. And it's awesome. But where are we giving? And are we giving? And if we're not giving, again, this is a pillar. It's one of the pillars of our spiritual growth. We need to figure out how to give somehow, somewhere. And it doesn't matter how much. What matters is we do something and move into that area. Because it's not a money thing. We discover pretty early on. It's a heart thing. Just like Jesus says. It's like, what are you opening up your heart to in faith, because that is good. That's what we think about. That's what we follow our dollars. That's what is going to be on our heart and mind, and we're going to be concerned about. And so giving is, but that, you know, that can be a real tough thing. It's like, hey, that's my money. Worked hard for that money. You know, and we've talked before in different messages about, well, wait, that's everything we got to learn, remember, belongs to God, and we're put in this place of being a trusted steward to steward the resources that he allows us to have. And when we look at things differently, we realize, okay, you know, any minute now, those resources could go away. And God's influence over providing in our lives is everything. And so, that's Brussels sprouts and broccoli and all kinds of stuff. But you've heard so many testimonies here, you know, of how God blesses giving, especially from an early age. It gets tougher when we try to start later in life. And so, but still, it makes a huge difference. I mean, since my teenage years, I've been giving some portion of what God has allowed me to make. And I look around and I'm just like, where did all this come from? I mean, God more than provides. And so he will build a huge testimony in your life as you challenge yourself in that area. Something we talk a lot about around here, but I don't know if you can ever talk enough about serving. And this line from Peter sums it up. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. And many of you are using that gift. Some of you, maybe that gift is just lying a little dormant right now. Maybe you didn't even know how gifted you are. But everyone within the church has at least a few gifts that you just thought those were your, that you just thought that was your natural talent, that was just there because you enjoyed it. No. God purposely gave you that to be part of the engine of His people, whether it's providing hospitality, setting up chairs, leading kids ministry, leading youth ministry, leading music, teaching, organizing, finances, all those things that go into putting a church together. That's how it happens. And so if we're not using our gifts, we're missing out on a huge part of our spiritual life. Okay, so here's where it gets a little challenging. You got to pick one. You got to pick your worst. Your worst one today. What's your one? What's your workout of the day going to be? Have you not? So start with this. Which one are you doing? Or one, two, or three? You can just cross those off the list. Okay? Because you're doing those already. And so now you don't need to today turn your life upside down to, okay, am I being too easy going again? Did I just yeah, you need to turn your life upside down today to get on track. All I suggest you do is give it a try. If giving, it's not like you gotta give hundreds or thousands of, do something for someone. Whether it doesn't even need to be the church. It needs to be something. Give away some money. Go to something around the church where, if you're a gal, the next women's night, the next guys, go to the hike, be part of what's going on in the life of the church. Get here a little early, get here and stay a little late, chat it up, make some friends. Don't just come and sit in the seats. If you're feeling like, okay, that learning stuff is just, it's just too intimidating. The Bible is boring and I don't get it. It's not boring. It's like NC-17. You're not reading the crazy parts. It's like, read some of that Genesis stuff. It's like super R-rated plus. And so it's not boring at all. So just, but what's so fun about all those, made for cable soap operas in the Old Testament, is there something to learn? I mean, we're going to see it in Moses. We're going to see some stuff come up. But what's so great is none of those people are perfect. And God called all of them and they made sacred history. How does that happen? So, and it's this huge, these inspiring faith builders. And so don't shy away from those just because it seems a little foreign. Dig in. Are you using your gifts? Are you getting time alone with God? Okay, that's the one. That's what I just don't do that enough. Your pastor sucks at prayer times. That's what you're thinking. Are you so disappointed right now? I would be disappointed. And so I'm just, okay, so honestly, prayer and fellowship are the one. I gotta pick ones between. My struggle is I feel guilty to let myself enjoy some like time. I feel like I've gotta, I just confess this right, I've gotta be here for my church. And so I don't wanna like, you know, and so what's great is I've got great fellowship in there, but I'm constantly saying no to things outside the church that would probably be, you know, good for me, you know, with other pastors and groups of, you know, other ministry leaders that would probably be good for me, but I just am scared to commit. I don't want to get over involved. I want to be able to, But I'm missing out on some stuff. And so I'm probably gonna go with both of those, because I'm easily distracted. It's like, you know, I get by myself and I get in this great place. I'm like, oh, I forgot to do this, you know, and I've got to be more disciplined in my still, quiet prayer times. Because when I do, I get these glimpses and I get this sense of security and leading that is just golden, that is just wonderful. And so where are you going? What's your why going to be? I've got a couple of them. But just pick one. Figure out which one it's going to be. I've got to figure out which one I'm going to really press into. Heavenly Father, as we're reflecting on which area we fear the most, or we're insecure about, we don't feel comfortable with, Lord, let us feel the strength of your Spirit, just like a great coach, a great teacher, behind us, pressing us forward to grow. And to realize it's going to be good for us. It's going to bring something new and powerful into our lives. And we're going to see and feel things that otherwise we would miss out on if we didn't take that chance and rise to that challenge to try something maybe that's awkward, intimidating, foreign to what we're used to. And so, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all these opportunities that you bring to us, and help us spur each other on to be as rounded as possible in our walk with you. And so, Lord, I just pray for everybody here that they would experience something new and wonderful as they press into an area that's been spiritual walk with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Both Keith and Colleen lead us in a couple more songs. Know that you are invited to Jesus' table to remember his goodness, his love, his sacrifice to all of us, and how much we need him. And if you would like to pray, our prayer team would love to pray with you in the back room. I love this song because it speaks to stepping out in faith, even sometimes when we're scared to do it. Let's sing together.